Hi, this is Laura Conaway with Planet Money. I'm here today with one of the smartest guys in the world, Nouriel Roubini. He's an economist who is most noted for having predicted exactly what the world is going through right now. Nouriel Roubini, how are you doing out there?
Very well, thank you. Pleasure being with you today.
Yesterday, I got a press release from you guys saying that the World Economic Forum had just launched the first Financial Development Index. Can you tell me a little bit about what that is?
Yes, it's an index that tries to see how much financial markets and institutions are developed in different countries. We looked at the sample of 52 countries because there is quite a lot of evidence that deeper banks, deeper financial markets, deeper financial institutions contribute to long-run economic growth. So the ability of firms, of households, to be able to borrow from financial institutions is a contributor to investment, to consumption, and also to diversification of risk.
And could you have guessed that you would be launching this index this particular week right into the bailout of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac? I mean, it's a huge news cycle for economics. Everyone in the world is paying attention to economics right now.
Yes, this was just by coincidence. And one of the interesting results is that while United States and United Kingdom are on the top of the list in terms of financial market developments, some of the subcomponents of the index suggest some weaknesses. For example, on the issue of financial stability, that includes the risk of systemic banking crisis, U.S. ranks only number 10 rather than number 1, and U.K. ranks number 23. So the index tries also to capture not just the overall development of financial system, but also weaknesses in the institutional environment, weaknesses that may lead to financial fragility, like the risk of a banking crisis. So we certainly do capture the fact that while these are the most advanced and sophisticated financial markets, there have been severe problems in the last few years in terms of banks going belly up. Now it's Fannie and Freddie, and we're in the middle of a severe financial crisis. We recognize that.
You guys do this index, and it's supposed to come out and say, here are the countries that are the most strongly positioned. And the United States and the UK come out 1 and 2. They're separated by 0.02 of a percentage point in your ranking.
Mm-hmm.
So what is holding the United States and the United Kingdom up so high overall if they're having such trouble with their banks and instability and that kind of thing?
If you look at the various measures of the size, debt, and access to capital markets coming both from banking institutions, broker-dealers, insurance companies, asset managers, venture capital, and you name it, the U.S. and U.K. rank very high. But that's exactly the trade-off. Countries that are sometimes very sophisticated financially, they have a lot of financial innovation, but that financial innovation, if it's not controlled by appropriate supervision regulation, may lead to greater risk. A lot of this financial innovation was definitely reckless, was dangerous. The Fed and other regulators were allowing lots of things, like, for example, mortgages with no down payment, interest rate only, no verification of income and assets and jobs. All this innovation occurred because the regulator thought that the private sector knew best, and the reality is that financial markets without appropriate rules, regulation, and supervisions are like the law of the jungle, and then crazy things happen. And that's what exactly has occurred in this case.
This report, this financial index, financial development index, is quite an object. It's 360-something pages long, I think. And I know that I, as a layperson, am going to be quite a long while, and a rich while, I hope, reading it and studying it and trying to understand it. So I wanted to ask you two questions about that. The first is, what are you hoping that economists and financial professionals will take out of this report? What are you trying to tell them?
One use of the report is that countries that are thinking right now how to improve their financial system, they can compare themselves to other countries. So, for example, there is a sub-index for insurance services. So you in Brazil can ask yourself, as a policymaker, is my insurance services as good as those in other Latin American countries or emerging markets or U.S. and Europe? And if you are not, then the index tells you what are the elements of weaknesses into your insurance services as opposed to your banks or as opposed to your asset manager. So it's a tool that should be useful in particular to policymakers if you're ranked very low to essentially do the appropriate reforms that are going to lead to greater financial development and hopefully greater long-run economic growth as well.
What do you want more regular people like me to get out of this report?
Oh, it suggests that having a sophisticated financial system and access to credit is important for long-term economic growth. It also allows people to allocate their own savings in a better way. In an economy in which you have many asset managers, many banks, and many other potential sources of investment, both domestic and abroad, you can diversify your risk. So an open economy where you can also invest your savings in other countries, stocks and bonds, allows you to diversify your risk and have a higher return. So it might give you an incentive then to put your money, your portfolio, in other parts of the world that are more sophisticated and are growing faster than, say, the United States.
I look at this report and I see that the United States comes in number one and the United Kingdom comes in number two. And yet I look at the news about my own stock market and my own 401k, and it's not horrifying for me personally, but it's not great either. But you're suggesting that I should actually invest in countries that are ranked much lower on this list, like China isn't even in the top 10.
It's not, but this is a measure of financial sector development that's a separate thing from the returns on your investment. If you diversify internationally, your returns are going to be greater over time, even if in the current market condition, the U.S. stock market has fallen from the peak by 20%, and other stock markets in Europe and emerging market economies have also fallen by about 20%. So unfortunately, in bad times, there is nowhere to hide. Unfortunately, this crisis and this economic slowdown and the financial crisis right now is becoming global, and therefore these benefits for diversification are more limited than in normal times. But in normal times, you would like to have a diversified portfolio of assets.
So in other words, hello, average American consumer, there's a world economy out there. Start learning about it.
Absolutely. You have to learn about it because we live in an integrated world where today what's happening in Europe, Japan, and China affects the United States as much as what's happening in the United States affects other countries.
My problem is I don't spend any money. That's probably what's bringing the whole service sector down, I think.
Well, you should spend, otherwise we're going to have a recession.
All right, I'm going to get out there and spend some money. You too. Thank you so much for talking to me, Nouriel Roubini. It's been a pleasure.
Pleasure talking to you.
And we'll link to the World Economic Forum's first ever Financial Development Index on our blog. Go to npr.org/money.